Okay. Mataji joined from a two devices. We have to give her a co-host on two devices. I don't know. She said she joined on 20. Okay. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Before we start the class, we will read Srila Prabhupada's quote for today. Today's quote is very sweet, which I really liked it. 21st July, when the husband is executing his activities very nicely, it is credit not only to the husband himself, but it is a credit to his wife also. July 21st, 1969. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Antaranga Tulsi Mataji to enlighten us on the topic of meditation of great acharyas. Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic. I now hand over the call. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
So Mataji, you got the co-host in the other device too, right? Yes.
Yes, Mataji. I got it. Thank you so much, Mataji. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the devotees present here. Am I audible?
Yes, Mataji. Yes, you are audible.
So I'm very, very happy to be present in this wonderful association today to discuss about the meditations of Vaishnava Acharyas. And today we will be discussing about a song written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. A very, very beautiful song that is very useful and very practical for the sadhakas like us. And so I'm very happy to be presenting on that song, and I'm very thankful to receive this opportunity. So we'll start with the Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohrishtam Sthapitam Yena Protale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Cha Nama Upadhaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarini Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaurashakti Swarupaya Rupana Gavarayati Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll begin to share my screen. I hope everybody can see my screen.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. So today we are going to discuss this bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is called Amar Jivana. So this song deals with the life of a conditioned soul. How does a conditioned soul behave in this material world? And Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he very mercifully and taking a very humble position, he is comparing himself as one of the general public of Kali Yuga. And he is narrating his life to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the mood of the song. This song comes in the Sharanagati book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur under the section of Dainya. So Sharanagati is surrender, and surrender has six limbs, out of which the first limb is Dainya. There is one song, another song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori Swapashada Sviyodama Saha Avatari. So in that song, in the end, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the six ways of surrender, which is Dainya Atma Nivedana, Goptrutve Varan, Avashya Rakshive Krishna Vishwasa Palan. So, and one who follows these six, he says that one who follows the six limbs, Shadaga Sharanagati Hoive Jahar, Tahara Prathana Shune, Sri Nanda Kumar. So, what are the six limbs of Sharanagati? Can someone say? It comes in nectar of devotion. Okay. Anukulasya Sankalpa, Pratikulasya Varjanam. This all comes in that song. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains all of them, all the six limbs in that song. Would someone like to tell in English the meaning? What are the six limbs of surrender? Accepting that which is favorable, rejecting that which is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. Can someone remember the six limbs? Okay. Bhakti anukula mara karyara svikar, bhakti pratikula varjanangikar. Dainya atma nivedana, humility, self-surrender, atma nivedana, gotritve varan. Having full faith, avashya rakshive krishna vishwasa palan. Having full faith, the Lord will protect one. So of this, one of the six limbs of Sharanagati is Dainya. So in this book called Sharanagati, which is surrender, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes songs under each of these six sections. And under this section of Dainya, humility, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song number 4 is this particular song that we're going to discuss today. So he is telling his condition. He is telling the condition of the Kali Yuga conditioned soul as his own condition due to his great humility as a wonderful Vaishnava. And he is narrating this tale to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we'll get into the song. Amar jivan sada papirata nahi ko punye ralesha parere utvege diyachi jekoto diyachi jivera klesha. The first stanza of the song. So the translation that I have mentioned here, this is Srila Prabhupada's purport to the song. From there I have taken the parts that refer to each verse and I've pasted them here. Can someone read this? The translation?
Yes, Mataji. I can read it, Mataji. Ah, okay. Panishwari Mataji, please go ahead.
He says that my life is always engaged in sinful activities. And if you try to find out, you will not find even a trace of pious activities, only sinful activities. And parere udvega, diachi yekoto, diachi jivere klesha. I am always inclined to give trouble to other living entities. That is my business. I want to see that others are suffering and then I enjoy.
Mataji, you're breaking, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Mataji.
Yeah, now it's better. After Mataji read the translation, we couldn't hear your voice at all.
So this is the first verse. Here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that Amar Jivan. So Amar Jivan means my life. So as a conditioned soul, this is also our life. It is describing our life. So Amar Jivan, my life, Sada Paperata, is always sinful. My whole life is engaged in sinful activities. So what is sinful activities? What is a sin in this material world? anything we perform in this material world is sinful. Why? Because the real activity or the proper activity a soul can perform is to serve Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. We have left that service and we have come into this material world. And anything we do in this material world, having accepted the body as me, having accepted this body as me, and doing any activity for the purpose of this body is a sinful activity. We do call as pious activity, the Vedas, they call pious activity, sinful activity, two activities are there. Doing something pious, which means like donating or doing a yajna for the purpose of going to heaven, giving in charity, speaking truth, doing all these good things, they all will help us reach heavenly planets or attain a better birth in this material world. But there is actually a sin. Because anything we do for the purpose of staying within this material world is actually a sin. We are offending the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, all the activities done for the body is sin. And what is the reason of this behavior that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that my life is filled with sinful activities and you will not even find a trace of pious activities. Nahiko punyera lesha, even a lesha, even a trace of punya you cannot find. Full sinful activities. And what are the sinful activities I do? What is the symptom of my sinful activities? I'm so sinful. Parere udvege diyachi jekota diyachi jivera klesha. I enjoy the udvega. I give trouble to others and I enjoy the suffering that they go through. So an example of this, this is when I was reading this verse, I immediately remembered Duryodhana from Mahabharata. How Duryodhana had all the amenities for his enjoyment, for his so-called material pleasures. He had the kingdom, he had wealth, he was in the palace, he had his brothers, he had loving parents, loving brothers, but still he was always suffering. When would he get enjoyment? He would get enjoyment when he would see Pandava suffering. So his enjoyment or his happiness was not based on himself or his activities, but it was based on the sufferings of the Pandavas. So that is a very demoniac nature of finding happiness in another person's distress. And why? And this quality is not only seen in Duryodhana. Duryodhana is a very gross example of this situation. But subtly, or in a very lesser, grosser level, these qualities exist in all the conditioned souls. Because what is the purpose why we came into this material world? Icha Dvesha Samuthena. The reason why we came was we were envious of Krishna and we wanted to enjoy ourselves separately. So because of that we came. Our entry into this material world itself is based on envy. And to help us to understand our mistakes, the Lord has mercifully given us this body and made us, and to facilitate us, we desire to enjoy separate of Him. So to facilitate our enjoyment separate of Him, He has created His material world, given us this body, given us the thought process to associate with this body, and thus try to enjoy ourselves. So because of envying Krishna, we tend to envy everything, because everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna. We envy the Supreme Whole itself. So therefore, when we come to the material world, we naturally envy each and every other person. But actually, what is our constitutional state is to love everyone, because when we know that the Lord is our master and I am His servant and my pleasure lies in serving the Lord, we always do that which pleases the Lord. That is what we find when the Duryodhana's, look at Duryodhana's mentality, his enjoyment is based on the suffering of Pandavas, whereas we find personalities like Haridas Thakur, who was envied by so many people. If we see in Chaitanya Bhagavat, which you're all reading in the Bhakti Sangha group, there is a chapter, chapter 16 of Adi Khanda, Glories of Haridas Thakur. It describes that since his birth till he came to Navadvip to get into the Sankirtan pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how many people envied him and they kept on troubling him. There was a person called Ramchandra Khan who was in Benapol, in Bangladesh, where Haridas Thakur was. And he could not tolerate the fame of Haridas Thakur. He was a rich man. He was a zamindar. He had everything to enjoy, but his mind was constantly bothered that Haridas is becoming popular. Haridas Thakur was nothing in comparison to Ramchandra Khan materially. Haridas Thakur was staying in a under a tree. He didn't have much possession with him. He didn't have anything. He was just simply sitting and chanting. He didn't do anything to cause envy. You know, generally, when does envy arise among people? When they see someone progressing, you know, materially. I am having this much money. My neighbor is having more money. I am having a small house. My neighbor is having a big house. That is when envy arises. Haridas Thakur was simply sitting and chanting. But his fame, his purity, that was causing envy to Ramchandra Khan. And he sent a prostitute. But how did Haridas Thakur react to that? Example of how a pure devotee reacts when he is faced with envy. Just simply merciful. Just spreading the mercy. He just chanted and he made the prostitute a devotee. He did not want to cause further trouble. He felt that Ramchandra Khan is being disturbed because of my presence here. He left that place and he crossed the border and he came. Similarly, we find Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, who wrote this song. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a wonderful magistrate, it is said that he would, because of him being a devotee and a very intelligent person, he was very intelligent, he would solve a case. Because he was a magistrate, he used to solve cases in the courts. And a case that would take a normal magistrate, a British magistrate or Indian magistrate those days to solve for maybe 1 or 2 days or 10 days, those kind of cases he would solve many in one day. He was so sharp and intelligent, he could easily finish his work. So difficult cases and all, more than 3-4 in one day he would do. And there was another magistrate, and therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur's service was so valued by Britishers. In fact, when he was staying in Godrimadweep, in Navadweep, and his office was in Krishnanagar. So at that time, the British government, to make his service, make his going and coming easier from home to office, they put a separate rail line, a separate train for him. Track and train for him. So this other magistrate got envious of, he was not happy with this progress of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. How about his fame, that everybody talking, you know, he is so intelligent, he is solving so many difficult cases. Do you know this case was solved by Thakur Bhaktivinoda today? So like that, he was feeling uneasy, and when he saw this track is being sent for him as something which a British government has not done for anyone, he was feeling envious. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to know of this, that his activities are not pleasing to his magistrate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt very sad for him. He felt very sad. So devotees, they feel sad when they, not because that he's envious of me, or they don't feel angry, but they rather feel sad that I'm causing disturbance to that person's mind. So that is how pure and soft the heart of a devotee is. So we have examples like Duryodhana in Bhagavatam, and we have examples of Haridas Thakur. So many personalities, we have example Dhruva Maharaj, so many in Srimad Bhagavatam also, of how we should react as a devotee, as practicing devotee, who should we look up to and react when we are faced by envy, or when we start feeling envious of someone. It is being the nature of a conditioned soul, it is very easy for us to feel envious, and therefore we should be very careful. And we should, that is why these kind of songs are very important. When we constantly sing them, we keep remembering our, that these qualities exist. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, out of his humility, is saying that they exist in him. But he is singing the song of a conditioned soul, which is something which we all are. Verse 2. Nija sukha lagi pape nahi dori dayahina swartha paru परसुखे दुखी सदा मिथ्या भाषी पर दुख सुख करो. Translation, please.
निज सुख लागी पापे नाही दोरे दोरे. For my personal sense gratification, I accept any kind of sinful activities. Daya hina swartha paro. I am not at all merciful, and I see only to my personal interest. Para sukhe dukhi sada mithya bhasi. As such, when others are suffering, I become very happy and I'm always speaking lies. Even for ordinary things, I am accustomed to speaking lies. When someone is suffering, that is very pleasant to me.
Thank you, Sudevi. So, for personal sanskatification, nija sukha lagi pape nahi dori. One, a conditioned soul, he doesn't think twice to perform a sinful activity if it is giving him personal sanskatification. For the sake of money, for the sake of fame, for the sake of comfort, we can see people around us, which is very common nowadays, that people, they perform sinful activities without even worrying about their consequences. They do very dangerous activities, not thinking whether how is this activity that I'm going to do, how is it going to affect others? How is it going to affect the society? Like, for example, we have the industries today. How the industries, so many industries, the plastic industry, the meat industry, and so many other industries, the coal industry, the all of them are creating so much consequence to the environment, to the people around. But still, the owners of the companies or the people around general, they are not worried about the consequences as long as they are getting paid money or they are experiencing comfort. They're fine with it for the sake of comfort of their personal family. And this also goes to extended selfishness, like apart from me and my family, it extends to my community. My community should be happy. For that, I'll do anything. It is correct. So we find terrorism going on like that. Then we also find even nations, people are being patriotic to their, they're very selfish about their nation. And because of that, they're ready to bring trouble on another nation. How in if a nation attacks another nation, in the other nation, how many people are there? A country has so many people in it, and people are so selfish to attack all the people there. We saw so many bomb blasts happening in history, and so many innocent people are killed, all for one's personal self-gratification. So in Kali Yuga especially, people don't think of performing sinful activity as long as it gives them some personal benefit. And dayahina swarthaparo. And they are not at all merciful. So many innocent animals are being killed every day just for the sense of satisfying one's tongue. And how sad is it? How dangerous is it? How dangerous is the killing of animal for the environment? How much sin is being accumulated in the world today just because of this one industry? And repeatedly, if you see in this song, again and again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this point of seeing happiness when other person is suffering. In the first verse also, we saw this being mentioned. And in the second verse also, this is being mentioned. That how one feels happiness in the suffering of others. This is a very significant point. That is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioning it again and again. This symptom can be very subtly present in our heart also. Like for example, sometimes we may be hurt by what somebody says, and we may not be happy. And in after some days, when something happens to that person, something unfortunate happens to the family of that person or to that person, sometimes a thought may seep in our mind. See, that day he did this to me. Good that he got it today. You know, this only will happen. He did this to me that day, no? Something will happen. Or sometime when someone does something to us, see, one day you will suffer for this. Unless this, our mind, no, very naturally speaks this. So this is not the mood of a devotee. A person who is practicing Krishna consciousness should not have this mood in his mind, in his consciousness. The consciousness should be to always please everyone, because that is when Krishna is pleased. And that is the aim of why we are practicing. Why are we chanting every day? Why are we attending classes? Why are we reading books? This is just to please Krishna, who is pleased when all his devotees are pleased, when everyone is pleased, because everyone is his part and parcel. So a devotee never ever thinks of, even by his mind, he doesn't think of hurting someone. So when one should be very careful in one's consciousness. If we think, no, it is not something like Duryodhan was like that, or okay, the terrorists are like that. I'm not as bad as a terrorist. But these thoughts might be even in our mind without us knowing also. And suddenly one time it will put its head out. Then you'll be like, Krishna, even I have these kind of thoughts. It'll be a sudden shock for us. So पर सुखे दुखी सदा मिथ्याभाषी. आई एम ऑलवेज स्पीकिंग लाइज. इवन फॉर ऑर्डिनरी थिंग्स आई एम अकस्टम टू स्पीकिंग लाइज. दिस ऑल्सो वी सी नाउडेज हैपनिंग हाउ lying has become very common. One doesn't, there was a time when to say a lie one would think so much. Yudhishthir Maharaj, to say one lie in the war, can anyone think what is that lie? Krishna told him to speak one lie during the war of Kurukshetra.
Mataji, that Ashwatthama, he actually meant elephant, but Arjuna
blew the conch so that Drona cannot hear. So Krishna told him that just tell in front of, when Drona is fighting, Dronacharya is fighting, when just pass by and just make sure he hears this, that Ashwatthama is dead. When he hears that news, he'll be shocked that the son is dead, and that, and he will himself stop fighting, and that is the only way we can kill Dronacharya, because he has to be killed for the sake of the Dharma Yuddha, for the sake of the religious war. Yudhishthir was in the side of religion. Krishna was personally there in Yudhishthir's side. Even though the Lord was saying, still Yudhishthir was thinking so much to tell one lie. Those, that was a quality of people existing in other yugas. They would think so much, all life they would not speak a lie. Bhishma, Dronacharya, Yudhishthir Maharaj, they would not speak one lie. And today we find people who very easily lie on the go. Like for example, someone, they have a very expensive thing in their house and they don't want, it's there in the showcase, and when we go and say, wow, this is so nice, from where did you get it? They might not be willing to reveal it. So they'll say, I don't remember, I just got it from somewhere, even though they very well remember from where they got it. You know, in this particular shop or this much, I bought it, it's so nice. They might not say, very easily they just say a lie that, I don't remember, I got it from somewhere. Or we find children's lying to parents. It's very common that we see nowadays. Very easily they just lie and they get away with it. In fact, this once upon a time, this was a very grave sin. Children would never dare to lie in front of their parents. There was so much respect and to elders itself, so much respect and so much concern was given to them. One would tremble to speak a lie in front of one's parents. People from the older generations will remember this, how when they used to lie, if the parents come to know, they would dread. So nowadays it's very common to see children lying to parents, husband lying to wife for petty. It might not be for a big reason, to hide something very big. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying here, sada mithya bhashi, it has become a habit. For even simple thing, one is accustomed to saying a lie. For very small thing, one might say a lie. And of course, we may question that, wasn't lie spoken by even great people like, for example, Sanatan Goswami, he lied to the jailer to escape from the prison. Or Vidura, he lied to Yudhishthir Maharaj about the departure of Krishna. Sorry. Vidura and Dhritarashtra, they left the home of Yudhishthir without saying. So like this, cheating has been done by, lying has been done by great personalities like Sanatan Goswami, Vidura. You can name so many examples. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going on the South India trip, he wanted to preach in South India. That time, every devotee was saying, no, Mahaprabhu, you should not go. Even if you go, you should take one servant with you. We all will come with you, like they were saying. But Mahaprabhu wanted to go alone. Mahaprabhu was thinking, how do I stop these devotees from coming? So Mahaprabhu said, no, I want to go to South India to find my lost brother. So it's a family thing that I want to do. So I want to go alone. So the devotees after that, they said, okay. But that was not the purpose of Mahaprabhu's going. Mahaprabhu's purpose of going was to preach and deliver the people of South India. So Mahaprabhu also said a lie. You know, Krishna is known for telling lies. Now Purushottam month, we are every day singing Chaurashtakam, all the different pastimes that Krishna has done. Krishna has also lied. But that is different. That is transcendental. Srila Prabhupada says, great persons cheat for a very great reason. Vamanadeva also lied. He asked for three feet of land, which was small feet of dwarf Vamana, who was just born, so sweet looking boy. And when he was given the, okay, take three steps from your small feet, Bali Maharaj gave the charity. Then he grew so big and he took three steps, which covered everything what Bali had. The spirit, the heavenly planets, the lower planets, everything. And third step, Vamana asked, where should I keep? So that was also cheating done. So cheating is accepted for great purposes when done by great persons. But cheating or lying done by conditioned souls for very petty things for one's sense gratification, that is very bad. That is not what a devotee should be doing. Asesha kamana hridi majhe mora krodidambha parayana madamatta sada vishaya mohita himsa garva vibhushana. Translation. Can someone please read the translation?
I deserve kamana hridi majhe mora. I have got lots of desires within my heart, and I'm always angry and falsely prestigious, always puffed up with false pride. Madamata sada visaya mohita. I am captivated by subject matters of sense gratification, and I am almost crazy. Himsa garva vibhusana. My ornaments are enviousness and false pride. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. So there are lots of reasons. Ashesha kamana. There is no end. Shesha means end. Asesha means unlimited. There is no end. For what? Kamana. For desires within my heart. So our hearts are filled with so many desires. Of all are, of course, of sense gratification only. For pleasure of me, for pleasure of me as the body, for pleasure of my family, etc. All desires to fulfill our self. And the angry and falsely prestigious. Krodhi dambha. Krodha is angry and false prestige. And all these desires are also coming with their false prestige. We have to maintain our prestige in society. For that, we have another set of desires that we have to cope up with. Madha matta vishaye mohita. Vishaya Mohita is very interesting. Always captivated by subject matter of sense gratification. This is something we see today, you know. How first the conditioned soul is already having so many desires within his heart that he's struggling with. Over and above that, this world today is filled with so many unnecessary products. The world is filled with avenues for sense gratification, in especially in this Kali Yuga. Wherever you go, wherever you see, you lift your eyes up in the street, there's advertising billboards everywhere. As when you go in the main road of a city, when you're going in bus or traveling, just see out of the window, not a single space is wasted without advertising. Every single place, something or other is written. Scribbled, posters, billboards, something. So many unnecessary things are being sold in the market, all for the purpose of sense gratification. Heavily advertisement is going on. Already the soul is having so many desires in his heart. Plus all these avenues, they increase the desires more. I want this also. I want this also. I was thinking about this, this product I wanted to buy, and now it is being displayed in a better way. I want this. So in this way, like, and it's so unnecessary, you know, we find so there is already a car which is in the market, yet the company will keep releasing new models every year, now and then, new features, just making you buy and buy. Phones, there was a phone, long ago there was a button phone. It was so simple, you used to call someone, you send a text message, touch screen phone came. Okay, that is useful, it makes it faster. Again and again, now how many phones, how many phone companies and how many models of phone keep releasing every year? More varieties. first there was a, if you want to take a picture, just making you, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, no, Mada Matta Sada, these things are making one crazy. Prabhupada says, I am almost crazy. People of Kali Yuga are exactly like that, almost crazy. Because these things make us crazy. Before, if you want to take a picture, you go to a studio, you take a picture, and then you frame it and you keep it in the house. You go to a place, there will be a man with a camera. You pay some money, he'll take a picture and give you the picture, you keep it. Then camera became popular, everybody began to carry a camera. Then phones came which had inbuilt camera. You can keep taking pictures whenever you want, wherever you want, and you need not print them, you can store them. Then came the selfie camera. There will be a phone, instead of telling someone to take a picture, you can take a selfie picture. Now if you see the phones are now advertised. Phone was brought for a purpose of communication, for calling and messaging. And now phone has become more of a camera-oriented stuff. When you go to buy a phone, they'll say, if you look at the back of the phone, there'll be around 5-6 cameras. I still don't know the purpose of why so many cameras are fitted behind the phone. 5-6 cameras. In the front, 2-3 cameras. The rate of the phones is so expensive because of so many cameras. This many pixel, it has this feature, night mode, this, that. You can crop off people from... It's just driving crazy. New features, they keep thinking and making the people crazy to buy these things also. I recently saw phones, we have, you know, smartphones, which we generally have now. Now there's something called like a book, you can open it. It's a flip kind of a thing. And that has now come into the market. So it's just driving people crazy. And this whole thing is just... because of even devotees, know, sometimes they say for the purpose of preaching, I'm getting all these gadgets, or for any reason. We should, as devotees, we should be very careful, because we are living in this kind of situation today, where we are ourselves as sadhaka struggling with the desire within our heart. We have asesha kamana in our heart, and we are struggling with anger and the false prestige. Over and above that, the world is bombarding us with so many vishaya mohit. They're trying to make us allure to so many vishaya, so many material objects, and trying to make us crazy. You know, we don't want to be intoxicated by material pleasure. We want to be intoxicated by Krishna's love. That is what we want to be intoxicated by. Mada Matta. Mada Matta is a very important word. We want to be, Mahaprabhu is so many times in Chaitanya Charitamrita called Unmatta. He was maddened, intoxicated by love of Krishna. That is what we want. We want like that. Nityananda Prabhu is glorified that he used to walk like an intoxicated elephant. That is the beauty of the Lord. That is a good intoxication. These intoxication, the Mada Matta, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says here, is driving us crazy in the material world. And so we should be very careful in this world. That's why Prabhupada has given us this sentence, simple living, high thinking. You should always remember this. Our house, our life should be as simple as possible, as just for the necessity. You know? Necessity will, of course, change from person to person based on their status, based on the place where they live, on what work they do, of course. So therefore, this simple living cannot be listed. What is simple living? Like, for example, for a person in a village, fridge might not be a necessity. He can live without a fridge. It's an unnecessary thing for him. Whereas a person in a different situation, for him, fridge might be a necessity. So we cannot list out what is simple living. So this is something every devotee should sit and think and decide, that is it necessary for me or not necessary for me. Based on that, one should decide what is simple living and stay away from this vishaya mohita. As a devotee, practicing devotees, I should not get allured by the bombardment of subject matters of sense gratification. And another quality mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is himsa garva vibhushana. Look at the word Bhaktivinoda Thakur has used. Vibhushana, ornament. Prabhupada says, my ornaments are enviousness and false pride. For me as a conditioned soul, they take this enviousness and false pride as an ornament. And this is something we can find very nicely brought out in the advertisements today. All the advertisements are based on envy. The neighbor will be having this. And then, I recently, when I was in the train station, I saw a sari ad in the TV there in the station. It was a sari ad. And so one lady walks in with a sari, and the other lady who is seeing it, it was a jewelry ad. And one lady, she walks in to a party or a wedding with some ornaments, and everyone in the party is looking up to that. And some ladies are very envious of that. You know, you can see their facial expressions are very envying that. And then the tagline, the company name and the tagline comes. You know, the so-and-so jewelry, something like something that others will envy, something that you will have that others will envy. So it is something like you should buy this product. If you buy this product and you wear it, everyone will look at you and they will feel that, oh, she has this, I don't have this. That is a theme. So in many advertising products, if you see nowadays, the advertisement is based on that only, based on enviousness and false pride. They have made envy a very prized thing, you know. Okay, so Kamaji says, neighbors envy owner's pride. I don't know for which object this is, but this is the propaganda that the advertising agency uses nowadays. Because they know that people are happy. They want to show themselves greater than others. This is the nature. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote so many years back is always true. This is what we say, the words of Acharyas are always true. Onida TV, long time back. Okay, thank you, Mataji. So ornaments. So we should be very careful. These should not be ornaments. What are the ornaments of a devotee? There is a verse, Sadhava Sadhu Bhushanam. Can someone please remind me which verse is that? These are the bhushana, these are the ornaments of a sadhu. Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhu Bhushanaha. Titikshava Karanika Sarvadehina. Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhu Bhushanaha. These are the qualities a devotee should have as ornaments, not enviousness and false pride. Titikshava. Karunika, tolerant, karunika, merciful. Ritikshava karunika, suhrida sarvadevinam. Consider all the living entities as one's friends. Suhrida sarvadevinam, ajata shatrava. Consider no one as enemy, no shatru. Ajata shatrava, shanta, peaceful. This is the qualities a devotee should have. These are the ornaments a devotee has. These are the ornaments the Lord bestows on his devotees, actually. And these ornaments are of the materialistic people, enviousness and false pride. What is envy? Envy is feeling uneasy when someone else progresses. That person progresses, I start feeling uneasy. And my reactions are the different consequences of envy. So we might blutter that through our mouth, by our actions, etc. But envy is a feeling uneasy or not feeling very comfortable when other person is progressing. So what does this show? Now we know as devotees who are reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we know that everything which is happening in each of our life is according to our karma. Our past activities are now giving result, fortunate or unfortunate. So when another person is progressing, that is happening because of his karma. And when I am feeling uneasy with it, who am I feeling uneasy with? Not with that person. I am feeling uneasy with this, with his karma. Of course, I am now, because I am seeing the outwardliness, I am envying him. But actually the cause is we are not happy that this is happening to him. Now this good thing is happening to him based on what? Based on karma, which is ultimately sanctioned by Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So it is by Krishna's ordainment that that person is progressing now. So when I am envying him, I am actually blaming Krishna. That he should not, I am not happy that he is getting it. So you are not actually happy with what Krishna is doing. So ultimately our pinpointing goes to Krishna. And therefore, and that is not something that we want, obviously. So this thought process, because we actually started from envying Krishna when we came to this little world. So therefore we are always envying, actually ultimately the envy is going to Krishna. And this quality is when a materialistic man, when a conditioned soul has it, he is envying, he'll do some activity, because of that he'll get some sin and he'll suffer. But as devotees, when we are in a devotee community and we have this quality of enviousness, when we start feeling uneasy, who are we feeling uneasy of in a devotee community? It is another devotee. So then it is more grave and more risky, because that tends to become a Vaishnava Aparadha. So it's bad in a normal case, but in the case of a devotee, when I am a practicing devotee, association of a devotee, and I'm envying another devotee, that is a very, very serious issue that can completely uproot our spiritual life, our completely uproot the chances of us going back home, back to Godhead. Such a big risk we are taking when we are envying a devotee. So therefore, this envy is very, very, is something that we should be very careful of. In fact, in one lecture I was hearing, we have this anger, greed, lust, envy. These are there. This anger, greed, lust, they can be used in Krishna's service. We can be greedy for Krishna for service. We can be we can use anger in Krishna's service. We can be lusty for Krishna also, like Kubja was lusty for Krishna. Like the lust can also. But this envy, that is one thing that has no entry in the spiritual world. Srimad Bhagavatam in the second verse itself. First verse is invocation, offering pranam to the Supreme Lord. Second verse itself, it shatters this. Nirmat Saranam Satam. If you want to read Bhagavatam and relation, go back home, back to Godhead. Nirmat Saranam is a must. Matsara means envy. Nirmat Saranam means those who are non-envious. So envy has no place in Krishna consciousness. And if envy is there, then that is very risky. So we can find examples of this in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In Mahaprabhu's pastime, we find Gopal Chapal. Who was Gopal Chapal envious of? Gopal Chapal was envious of Srivas Thakur. He could not tolerate Srivas Thakur being doing something private. He was a Brahmana. He felt offended. And because of that, what happened? Gopal Chapal got leprosy. He was suffering like anything. And he directly went to Mahaprabhu and asked forgiveness. But Mahaprabhu said, no, you have to go to Srivas Thakur only. So that that shows how dangerous envy to a devotee is. In Bhagavatam, fourth canto is filled with envy. Fourth canto is filled with stories of people who are envious and what happened consequences. My main pastime which is very catchy is Daksha envying Lord Shiva. Daksha envied Lord Shiva for no reason. What all he speaks? His eyes are like monkey. He married my daughter who is so beautiful, like who has doe eyes and who is so sweet, and he is having eyes like a monkey. He lives in the crematorium. He wears skulls. He is surrounded by ghosts, and he is a very ignorant man. He has no respect. What and what not did he speak in that assembly about Lord Shiva? And then he further created a sacrifice just to insult Lord Shiva. So much envy he had for Vaishnavana Yathashambhu, who is the best among the Vaishnavas. And what happened to him at the end? He lost all his piety. He got the head of a goat after repenting, of course. And Lord Vishnu did not come to his sacrifice. In both the sacrifices, you see, Lord Vishnu does not come. Lord cannot stand the insult or somebody envying his devotee. Vishnu did not come for the sacrifices done by Lord, by Daksha. Similarly, we find Chitraketu's wives, when Chitraketu did not have a son and he married millions of wives, and finally he got one son from one wife. Other co-wives, they became envious of that wife, that she is getting all care from her husband. And therefore, envy is so dangerous. This story from Bhagavatam teaches us, envy is so dangerous that it can push us to commit any sinful activity. These queens were all from pious families. Imagine, Chitraketu is such a great Gandharva king. He is marrying me. These girls must be from very good heritage. They are filled with all good qualities. Yet, because of their envy, they were pushed to commit a murder of a small boy who was so innocent. What was the fault of that boy? They were ready to murder him and they killed him by giving him poison. So envy can push one to commit such sinful activities also. So therefore, as devotees, we should be very, very careful to not carry enviousness and false pride in any form. It can be subtle. It can be gross. False pride is also like that. Garva. We might have pride. We might be subtly proud of so many things that we possess. Like I may be proud that I'm giving class, and therefore, because of their false pride, I can become arrogant and commit offenses at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Devotees can be small, minutely proud of so many things. So therefore, we should be very careful and not carry them as our ornaments. निद्रालस्य हतसो कार्ये वीरता अकार्ये उद्योगियामि प्रतिष्ठा लागिया साध्य आचरण लोभहत सदा कामि. Translation, who would like to read?
I can read, Mata, if it's okay.
Yes, please.
Nidra lasya hata sukarya virata. I'm conquered by sleep and laziness and I'm always averse to pious activities. Akarya udyogi ami, and I'm very enthusiastic to perform impious activities. Pratishtha lagiya satya acharana. I always cheat others for my prestige. Lobha hata sada kami. I'm conquered by greediness and always lusty. Wow, this is really speaking me.
Conditions us will have when they see when they sing the song, when we all come to the song, and that is a very good symptom. When we relate to the song, then we can get into this mood and pray to the Lord in a very feeling way. So Nidra Lasya, one of the shining quality of Kali Yuga is laziness. Most shining quality of Kali Yuga is laziness. So I am conquered by sleep and laziness. So nowadays in the world, it's a very common practice to wake up at 8 a.m. Anybody you meet, it's common to wake up at 8 a.m. If you say wake up at 4 o'clock, they'll be like, you're telling me to wake up at midnight? It's the mid of night for me, 4 a.m. For them, practically day starts only after 7 a.m. So laziness is so common. And this beautiful thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is, averse to pious activities, enthusiastic to perform impious activities. Eager to perform sinful activities, but very lazy or very not interested in performing pious activities. So in Kali Yuga, it's so easy to perform the to break the four regulative principles. Sinful activities are being legalized by government itself and inviting everyone, please perform sinful activities, please perform meat eating, please perform intoxication. The four regulative principles are so easy to break, and if you break the four regulative principles, in the material world, you are considered a very great person. If one is a great man, if you are a great person in the society, you are expected to be drinking, having intoxication, you are expected to have affairs. So this is nowadays very a high status person means all this. So the present state is that if you break the four regular principles, you are considered a great man, and the situation is so that it's very easy to break the four relative principles also. But for person who is doing like this, if you tell them that please come to temple, please come 1 hour to our house for satsanga, that is very difficult for them. That at that time only they'll get all the jobs of the world. No, I have to go here, I have this to do, it's a very busy week, and I have to take rest on the weekends. So many reasons they will have to not go to the temple or not go and do something. Even sometimes as devotees, we might find that we will be very lazy to perform our spiritual activities. Like for example, we would have decided that I will read 10 pages of Prabhupada book every day. But throughout the day, we'll be busy with so many things and we'll have time for everything. But at the end of the day, when it's going to sleep, we'll remember, today I did not read my quota of Prabhupada book. It's okay. Tomorrow I'll read 20 pages. Now it's too late. I am too tired. If I don't sleep today, I can't wake up on time for Mangalarti tomorrow. That is more important. So better I don't read today. I'll read tomorrow 20 pages. So like this, you know, even in devotee life, laziness plays a very important role, and so we should be very careful of that. And another example of laziness today is how instant foods are in the market. People are so lazy to even take care of their own health also. That is the height of it. They now they prefer to go to the shop and buy some instant stuff in which they put some hot water and it's ready. That's food. They don't know from where is it coming. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that food should not be eaten if it is kept for 3 days. That is stale food. That is the mode of ignorance. This food is having expiry date for 3 months. After 3 months or 2 months, they are buying that food and eating. Krishna only knows when it was made, when it was processed, and when it was packaged and brought and kept in the shelf of the market. And they are buying it and having that. And sometimes I even hear stories of how people, they in the beginning of the week, in the weekend, they cook and they keep in the fridge for the whole week. And in the busy schedule, they go to the fridge, they take it out, heat it in the microwave and take that as their food for the day. So they don't even cook every day. That is the height of laziness. And they want everything at the touch of a button. As much as possible, gadgets for everything. In the kitchen, you go, for everything, there's a machine. For grinding, for boiling, for everything. To hide, to make laziness. You put something into the processor and you just have to go and sit. That will make it on itself. So, the whole world is now working towards making everything so easy for lazy person, just to make us more and more lazy. And always conquered by greediness and lustiness. This is, when you read this, you always remember the politicians. Always on more and more and more. They never have the thought of it's enough for me. Text 5. Ehe no durjana sajana varjita aparadhi nirantara shubha karya shunya sadanartamana nana dukhe jara jara. Translation, please.
Can I go ahead, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. My life, there is not a bit of auspicious activity. Okay. Eho durjana sajana varjita. I am so fallen and I have no association with devotees. Aparadi nirantara. I am an offender always. Shubha karya sunya. In my life, there is not a bit of auspicious activity. Sadanartha manaha. And my mind is always attracted by something mischievous. Sadanartha manaha. And my mind is always attracted by something mischievous. Nana dukke jara jara. Therefore, at the fag end of my life, I am almost invalid by all such sufferings.
So from this verse, the regret, the repentance is beginning. So after the conditioned soul who is having all these qualities, as we read before, now realizing, so after in the fag end of the life, towards the end of the life, when he's becoming old, he's thinking of all what mistakes he had done, and he's now experiencing suffering, and he is now feeling that I am now useless. In old age, one is invalid, one cannot perform activities as he performed in his youth, and so he's beginning to regret. He says, I am fallen and I have no association of devotees. So this shows how important is association of devotees. Sometimes, because we are always in association of devotees, we tend to lose the value. We don't value it so much. But actually, how important is satsanga is, we can find Srimad Bhagavatam filled with the glories of satsanga. Parikshit Maharaj, he sought after the association of all the sages. So many times we find people running to get association of devotees. That is like an oasis in the desert. You get so much shelter at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. And having no association is a very fallen situation. And always been an offender. The soul is regretting that at the end, that I have induced suffering on everyone. I have enjoyed the suffering that they are going through. And I have always criticized and offended the people around me. I have always been greedy and lusty. And because of that, I'm expressing the anger on so many people. And thinking back in one's life, the soul feels there is not a single auspicious activity I did. In the beginning of the song, the same thing Bhakti Thakur says, Amar jivan sada papirata nahiko punyara lesha. Not a trace of pious activity is there. In the end of the song also, he's saying the same thing. When one reflects back, he finds there is not a single auspicious activity that I have performed. And my mind is always attracted. Even now, it is always attracted to something mischievous, something wrong, anartha. That which is having no meaning. Artha means meaningful activity. Anartha means that which is nonsense. So we have anarthas in our heart means we have things which are useless sitting over there, which are not for good. So our mind is always running towards something mischievous, something nonsensical. And now we are suffering for all of them. Last verse. Vardha keva upaya vihina tate dina kinchana bhakati vinoda prabhura charane kore dukha nivedana. Please read the translation.
Vardhakya eko na upaya vihina. Now in my old age, I have no alternative. Tate vina akinchana. Therefore, by force, I have now become very humble and meek. Bhakti vinoda prabhura charane kore dukkha nivedana. Thus, Bhakti vinoda Thakur is offering his sad statement of his life activities to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord.
We can just see the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this song. First of all, he is such a glorious Vaishnava Acharya who is filled with all the good qualities, written so many glorious books, and who has given so much. He has given the Navadvip Dham itself was given to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Navadvip Dham, he excavated, he rediscovered the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gave Navadvip Dham Mahatmya book to us, which glorifies Navadvip Dham, which gives important notes about where, which place is there in Navadvipa. And he, by his life, he taught how Grihastha should live, ideal life. He is known as the seventh Goswami. And he is telling that my life is like this. All these verses, what we read. Sometimes when we read this song, we feel it is describing a gross conditioned soul. And sometimes when we read, we find that these qualities are present in me also. And it is a reminder for us that Krishna, this is not the situation where I should be in. So if we feel our life is filled with the qualities that we read before and we are practicing sadhakas, this is what we have to do. What Thakur Bhaktivinoda says in this verse. Now, in the present situation, however far we have come in our life, we should accept the humility and be ready to reveal what we have in our mind, that this is my situation. Frankly speak our situation to the Lord. We may feel that sarvase chaham hidi sanni vishto matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna is sitting within the heart always. He is the cause of my forgetfulness and my remembrance. He is the one who is teaching me everything in the heart. So he is in my heart. So if I repent in my heart, then it is enough. The Lord in my heart can hear. That is not enough. One should tell it out loud. Go to the Lord in the temple or in our altar, in our home, who is in front of us. And loudly tell him that this is the suffering I'm going through. These are the issues I have in my life. Openly, frankly, one should open one mouth and repent. I perform this sinful activity. Please forgive me, O Lord. I don't want to perform this again. I very deeply regret what I did. I am filled with greed and envy. Today I was envious of this devotee. And I, for my sense gratification, I am performing so many sinful activities. I am always running after sense gratification. I want this, I want that. O Lord, this is my situation. So one should very shamelessly go and tell one's situation in front of the Lord. Open up one's heart directly in front of the Lord. Speak aloud. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur written a song and surrender to the Lord's lotus feet and say, Lord, this is my situation. But I know, my Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are Patita Pavana. You deliver the most fallen. So please, I am now regretting and I request you to deliver me. So one should be ready to say that loudly out. In Navadvip Dham, we have an island called Antardvip. It is one of the nine islands. It is a central island. It is that island in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the house of Hachi Mata. So why did Antardweep get the name Antardweep? Very interesting story. I'll cut it short. When Brahma was repenting, having abducted the cows and cowherd boys from Krishna and taught a lesson by Krishna, he went and begged forgiveness from Krishna. Still, he didn't feel very comfortable because the Lord was very straight with him and Lord did not pay much heed to what he was repenting in Govinda Ghat. So then he went to Mother Surabhi and he was telling her, I'm still not happy. Then he got to know that Lord is going to... Then he came to Antardweep. He came to Navadweep Dham and he came to Antardweep and he sat and he began to meditate over here. He said, the only way to fulfill my repentance, to pour out my repentance is to go into tapasya. Do a prayaschitta for what I've done. He came to do tapasya. And after doing tapasya, because he was performing tapasya in Navadweep Dham, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mercifully appeared before him, though Mahaprabhu had still not incarnated. And when Mahaprabhu, when Brahma saw Mahaprabhu, he was very astonished. Who is this personality? Supreme Lord, he knew, but which form is this? Then Mahaprabhu revealed that this is the form. I'm going to come in Kali Yuga, picture of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, and I'm going to preach this like that. He told everything. Then Mahaprabhu, that how he was proud of his position and he couldn't accept Krishna's supremacy, and like this, I committed offense at the lotus feet of Krishna. I committed offense at the lotus feet of all the Brajvasis, and therefore I'm very repentful, and I know that all this happened because of my post of Brahma. That post is causing pride to me. I'm so proud, I'm so arrogant. Like that, he poured out his heart to the Lord. And he said, oh Lord, in your pastime, next when you appear, if I'm in the post of Brahma, I will again commit some offense at your lotus feet. So therefore, I beg you, please give me a role in your pastime. Please bless me that I will not become proud again. I'll be in a situation where I'll not become proud, where I'll not become arrogant, where I will have nothing to be proud of. Then Brahma was blessed by Mahaprabhu to appear as Haridas Thakur. Imagine, Brahma is the most qualified personality in this material universe. He is most qualified, the most learned. He is the father of the, he is the first learner of the Vedas. His father, who is Brahma's father? If you saw somebody ask, who is your father? Some person whom nobody knows. If you ask Brahma, who is your father? Who is his father? Supreme Personality of God is my father. Mahavishnu is my father. What a prestige to say that is. And what are the achievements? My achievement is I created the entire world. All the souls, this whole material world, the 14 planetary system, I only created. That is his achievement. How many heads do you have? I have four. You have only one. Four-headed person he is. And he is having all the Vedas in his tips. He knows everything. He has personally seen the Supreme Lord. He is one person who is eligible to see the Supreme Lord. Even the Devas, when they have an issue, they go and pray to Brahma. Brahma goes to the banks of the ocean, milk ocean, and there he sees the Lord. He gets to see the Lord. The first living entity in the world who saw the Supreme Personality of God is Brahma. He got knowledge directly from Krishna, from Vishnu. Such a person who is in such a power, he can create, he is the Vidhata. He is the one who writes the in the forehead of every person in the life. He writes the future. He writes the life of a person. For that kind of a person, Mahaprabhu gave him a post. The position of Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family, which was already very low, Mecha Kula, it is said. And in Muslim family, he was a devotee. So the Muslims, they considered him as a very lowly person, born in such a nice Muslim family. And you're saying the names of Hari, how can you be like this? They put him out of their community. And the Hindu community, they said, you are born in a Muslim family. What qualification do you have to utter the names of the Lord? You are committing a sin by uttering the name of the Lord. The Hindu community did not accept him also. And he was an outcast in all the communities. He was not accepted by any community. And nobody cared for him. And he was lying. He was just staying under trees. And So simple. Okay, he had he was not accepted to anyone. Simple life, that is also not possible. Everywhere he went, he was followed by trouble. People were envying him. They were attacking him. People could not tolerate. Brahmanas could not tolerate Haridas Thakur chanting the holy names of the Lord. They would criticize him. The only person who accepted him was the Vaishnava community. Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur. The Vaishnavas, they don't give any importance to the material qualifications. Where are you born? Which caste are you? That is not considered by Vaishnavas. Because the holy name, the process of Krishna consciousness is transcendental. It can come to anyone. Even to animals can accept Krishna consciousness. Gajendra was Krishna conscious. So what about another human being? Vaishnavas accepted. But in the world in general at that time in the society, Haridas Thakur was the most insignificant person. They would not accept him at all. And that was a position that Brahma was given. Such a low position. And Brahma very happily, he humbly accepted the position. And therefore he became Namacharya. So such is the glories of Brahma. So therefore this Antardvip therefore got the name Antardvip, because Brahma revealed his mind, the thoughts in his heart to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So revealing the heart, so heart, thought within the heart. So antar means inside or something secretive. So what is in our heart is very secret. Only we and the Supreme Lord knows. I know my heart. Nobody else will know my heart, my mind. Supreme Lord knows, because he is in the heart. He knows everything. But the step we should take is like what Brahma took. We should go and feelingly, we should surrender to the Lord and shamelessly tell our story to him. This is where I stand, O Lord. This is me. You know me very well, but I want to tell it to you. Openly tell it to him. Sing our tale. And then only humility will come in us. Humility is very important. This whole song is meant to invoke humility in our hearts. We should become humble and surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kunti Maharani says that people who are puffed up by Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri, these people are intoxicated and therefore they cannot naiva arhati abhitatam vai. They cannot feelingly utter your name, O Lord. It is not, unless we are meek and humble, we cannot utter the name of the Lord with feeling. We can utter the name of the Lord, chant mechanically, but if we have to really touch the Lord, we have to feelingly chant the holy name in the real mood, then humility is very important. We should not have envy or pride at all in our heart. And that, by singing this song, by this beautiful, therefore we are very thankful, we are very eternally grateful to our Vaishnava Acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has written this kind of beautiful bhajans. You know, we might not know what to speak to the Lord, what to tell to the Lord, but they have taught us what we should say. If we read the song and read its meaning, and having known the meaning very in the proper mood, we sing this song to the Lord every day, then surely humility will get invoked in us. And then when we get humble, then we can feelingly utter the names of Krishna. And feelingly chant, we can progress in our spiritual life. Thank you very much. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji, for this song and very nice meaning of the song. That how is the condition of a person in this material world. If we can surrender to Krishna, then we can get the good qualities in us and become a great devotee. And thank you so much, Mataji, for explaining very nicely this meaning. I request any devotees having any questions, realizations, please go ahead.
We should thank Srila Prabhupada. This Prabhupada is so mercifully, he has given important song and given word to word meaning to the song. The whole translation that we read was Srila Prabhupada's purport of the song. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. We have Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji raising her hand. Paneshwari Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much for a wonderful, wonderful class. And I was just one thing, I especially liked what you said at the end about we need to reveal our hearts to the Lord and we actually need to speak it out loud. And I was just thinking that it's only when we speak it out loud do we actually hear it. So it's not only that the Lord hears it, because as you said, he already knows, but we actually can hear it. So it's only when you can identify a problem or a difficulty, then you can find a solution for it. So similarly, only when we identify that this is our anartha, or this is this ability, as you say, that we have, then we can make amends to rectify it. So I love that very much. Thank you. And I was just thinking also that, you know, it seems the mood of so much. Just Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as you said, you know, such an advanced soul, and this is the mood in which he is in, you know, what to speak of us, right? What kind of a mood we need to be in. We're so proud of many of the things that we think we're doing, either in the name of Krishna consciousness or otherwise. So that gives you that, you know, insight. And the final thing is, yes, everything that we consider negative is glorified today. So it's even a more tougher battle for us as devotees when we need to go against the tide, which is basically what we're doing. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. It's a very wonderful, lovely point you mentioned. When we have to speak aloud, then only we actually start identifying. Until then, until we speak, we might not even know that we have some problems. When we start speaking to the Lord, then we start thinking what to speak. When we read the song, then we really start identifying that this song even helps us to identify our problem first of all. We may not even think it's a problem actually. Thank you so much, Mataji, for that point.
We have Dr. Kalpagavalli. Mataji, please go ahead.
Namaste, Mataji. Very nice session and very nice song. May I know the name of the song, Mataji?
Amar Jeevan Sada Tatparata. I'll type it in the chat. Amara Jeevana Sada Paperata.
And you post the song?
Yeah, I'm posting it, Mataji, here in the chat box, the link. Yeah.
Another thing I want to say, Mataji. Hello.
Yes, Mataji.
Mataji, you told everything, Mataji, every one of us will have the same thing as Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, no? All the process, all the, you said, all the six verses, all the 10 years and everything, only each man we are having. But according to my thing, Mataji, by chanting Hare Krishna, as Prabhupada says, envious and everything has reduced. Envious will be there, but reduce, and we have to practice and read the books and all, no? By that time, our sinful actions and everything will be reduced. Thank you, Mataji, for the wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Yes, Mataji. It's a two-track process. For chanting, you need to be humble, and by chanting, you become humble. They go together with each other.
Yes.
Both have
yes, Mataji. Definitely. Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah, what Dr. Kalpagavalli Mataji is saying is so true, that when we before came to Krishna consciousness, our situation for this song was very apt. Right now, we are not too bad. We are not too good. We are in the middle. We have to push ourselves to go to the higher level. And so that we can be a great devotee. Thank you so much, Mataji.
We have improved.
Because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy and his books and all the speakers, they're coming and giving us so much knowledge. So that we
unless
can
be... Prabhupada's purport, no, but the purport we are reading is very, really good, and that itself is enough for us. Each and everything in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, if you say, the purports are very, very wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. He's an incarnation of Krishna only, I'm telling. Krishna only. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji, for your love for Srila Prabhupada. We have Harita Mataji. Harita Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dandavat Pranam, Sal Gurishta Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Mataji, each and every verse has depicted the faults in us, and it's like every verse is making us to introspect. Yes, this we are, and we need to correct it. Yes, this we are, and we need to correct it. And it is giving so much of, thoughtfulness to us that we need to improve a lot. We are very far away from Lord, and we need to improve a lot to reach the Lord, the lotus feet of the Lord. And thanks for such enlightening session, Mataji. Literally grateful to you for choosing such nice song and explaining this. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. All I'm going to say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who wrote such wonderful songs. That those days, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was hundreds of years ago, and he has perfectly depicted what is happening today. It's his words are eternal. For all time and age, they'll be suitable. All glories to Thakur Bhaktivinoda.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Harita Mataji. Is there anybody having any more realizations? Okay. If there are no more realizations, we can close the call here. Once again, thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful session. I would like to offer my obeisances. Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya. What, Mataji?
Mataji, for this wonderful
all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Mataji. All glories to Bhakti Sangha. Bhakti Sangha is a very good platform. It's giving everyone chance.
Wonderful initiatives that you have taken to go deep into songs of Vaishnava Acharya. Very, very important service this is to go deep into songs.
Bhakti Sangha. Mataji, Bhakti Sangha association with all the pure devotees, no? That itself will make our life pure and never let do this thing. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for the Bhakti Sangha. And thank God. I'm thanking Krishna for making me an association with this group. Thanking God. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kalpatarubhyasya. Mataji, you have so much love for the group and so much love for Krishna. Thank you so much for your sweet association. We are also very lucky to have you in the call. And thank you, Mataji, for the beautiful class. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bheva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai Her Grace Antaranga Tulasi Mataji Ki Jai.
Jai.
Thank you so much. Mataji. Hare Krishna. Okay. Thank you, dear devotees, for joining today's class. We'll meet again on Monday in the mid-morning session. For the early morning, every day, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Tomorrow, we'll meet in the morning. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.